Hello and welcome to Daily Info's Oxcast. It's your weekly guide to all of the events that are going on in this beautiful city and around.
Roar! Shiver me timbers!
What? Anaïs, why are you
dressed like that? Cap'n?
You're wearing a black eye patch and a parrot on your shoulder, and why are you holding a cutlass to my throat?
I definitely didn't get into an accident in a pet shop.
Yeah.
I'm actually a pirate.
I see.
This Thursday, 19th of September, is International Talk Like a Pirate Day. They even have a website.
It's a real
thing.
I think you mean International Talk Like a Pirate
Day.
Indeed, it was invented as a private joke by two Americans in the 90s across the far Atlantic in Hispaniola or thereabouts. And now it's popular all around the world.
You're a Western country pirate.
Well, I think apparently that
Western
is...
Western countries are pretty that, much...
That is piracy. Yeah. That is where we associate the kind of stereotypical pirate yarr accent from, because lots of sailors came from the West Country for the important Atlantic ports of places like Liverpool, Bristol, Portsmouth, that sort of thing. There we go. Learn a little bit of something.
Fantastic. And is there anywhere in Oxford that's going to be celebrating this day as much as we are in advance today?
Yeah, we are going to be answering all the phones. Hello, Daily Info here. Shiver me timbers. Yes, to party like it's 1669, you can head on Thursday to Oxford's brand new board game cafe. It's called Thirsty Meeples. It's in Gloucester Green. You can hang out with your friends, enjoy a tasty milkshake or other beverage of your choice, along with a rousing game chosen from their selection of over 1,500 different board games. It's pretty bloody amazing.
And there'll be some good pirate games.
Well, that's the thing. They have 30 pirate-themed games available.
Okay.
So to celebrate Talk Like a Pirate Day, they're inviting people to come along and play them, and they'll have game gurus ready to teach you and your friends about the games. And you can perhaps drink some delicious, unfortunately non-alcoholic, pirate-flavoured drinks. Anyway, that's going to be £3.50, and it's going to be all day on Thursday at the Thirsty Meeples. So we're hoping to do some interviews featuring the Thirsty Meeples people very soon, so watch this space, or listen to it.
There's something else on Thursday, which is specially for the students, as Oxford Brookes have started.
Hello, students.
Hello, new students listening to the Oxcast.
Mm-hmm.
We hope you become regular listeners. Get in touch. And so this Thursday, the Clarendon Centre are having a lock-in. I recently referred to a lock-in as a lockdown recently, saying, oh, I might go to a lockdown. I clearly have never been to a lock-in, so you guys should go to the lock-in so you don't sound like me. It's 6 till 9 on Thursday at the Clarendon Centre.
I think one of my nightmares is being locked in the Clarendon Centre. Anyway.
There's going to be music, entertainment, and also lots of exclusive discounts and offers. Back to our usual chronology, which we like to
adhere to
in this podcast. So it is Wednesday the 18th of September. And last night at the Playhouse, a award-winning show came by, written by award-winning playwright David Grieg and co-produced by the National Theatre Scotland and Royal Shakespeare Company.
Big deals,
big,
all of them.
Big names. Mm-hmm. It's got an incredible team behind it. And the story is a sequel to Shakespeare's Macbeth. But Lady Macbeth is alive and she's a very powerful widow.
Mm.
And it was first produced in 2010, and the play is meant to kind of draw about parallels between modern day warfare in Afghanistan and Iraq and situations there. And the whole reason it came about is David Grieg asked himself, what happens when a dictator falls?
I see. So Macbeth is a kind of Saddam Hussein-esque figure.
That's
and
what
he's
going
deposed.
For. But it's done in kind of sort of traditional medieval garb, and it's a drama just about irresolvable conflict, and it's been extremely well received by critics and audiences.
David Grieg is an amazing playwright. I think he's probably the best British playwright working today.
Contemporary,
actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And just anything he touches gets rave reviews all over.
Exactly. Mm. So go and see David Grieg's Dunsinane. It's at the Oxford Playhouse this Tuesday to Saturday at 7:30pm with selected matinees as well.
Well, I've got some other fantastic theatre for you this week. It starts on Thursday at the theatre in Chipping Norton, and it runs until the 20th of September next week. Now, it's an absolutely riveting drama by Frank McGuinness. It's called Someone Who'll Watch Over Me. And basically, again with the political commentary here, but this is about an Englishman, an Irishman, and an American.
Where's the Scotsman?
Well, exactly, left out of this joke. I'm sure he's very glad to be, because it's about them being kidnapped and held hostage by terrorists in the Middle East.
Were they actually Scottish terrorists, though?
Oh, I see.
In disguise?
Scottish independence
did
terrorists.
Did the Scotsman win the joke?
Yes, almost certainly.
I'm sorry, I realise it's probably not funny at all.
Well, actually, no, that's not true at all. It is full of black comedy, because basically it's about the kind of absurd, insane life you have when you're a kidnappee. It's loosely inspired by the stories of captives like Terry Waite. So basically these three men are kind of struggling to maintain their sanity, you know, they're kind of, it pitches really quickly. It's a great play, pitches really quickly between a kind of black absurdist comedy and really white knuckle tension. So it's a really, really good play. I would highly recommend it.
Awesome. Mm. Well, now Jen is going to tell us a little bit about a festival happening nearby.
Very nearby, in the smart surroundings of Blenheim Palace and Woodstock. So this is a literary festival. This has been going quite a number of years. I don't think it's quite as old as the Oxford one, but I may be wrong about that.
Similar organisers, though, I think.
Similar organisers, similar speakers. I guess there are people who like doing the festival circuits and other people who hate it. So some big names: Max Hastings, Lucy Worsley, Rick Stein, who I gather comes quite a lot, former Prime Minister John Major. I'm not one for political biography in great detail, but this is actually about his father, who was in the music hall.
Oh, right, not even about him.
No, not about him.
Has he got his own? Has he done that?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
This sounds lovely, though.
It sounds much more fun, doesn't it? There's a lovely saying about John Major that he really did run away from the circus to become an accountant. And it does make him seem a lot more colourful when you know what his past contains. So he's written a book about his father, and he's going to be talking about that. There's various themes. History comes up quite a lot. Explorers. There are some crime writers, quite a nice diverse pair of crime writers. Ruth Rendell, who's in her 80s and is brilliant. She's got this amazing deadpan humour.
Still writing. Amazing.
Still very much on the ball. A bit wobbly on her legs, but entirely there in the brain. I saw her in Harrogate this year and she's great. And Arne Dahl, who's a fairly new Scandinavian writer from that wave. His stories have been on BBC4 dramatised fairly recently, so people may have seen those. Blinded Man is the first one, and there are a couple of others. There are various people being represented who can't be there in person, including the Roman poet Horace, who I can't stand, but many people may love, having to study him at school.
It's like collecting a prize when you can't be there.
Yeah, the send a proxy. And Rumour Godden, there's a talk about her. There's the brilliantly named How to Be Female and Awesome.
Oh yes, Hadley Freeman.
there are various other things as well, walks, concerts and things like that. And Midsummer Night's Dream in 90 minutes.
That's a good thing to end on. Wrap it up. And so when is this on from?
It's Wednesday to Sunday. And it's happening all over Woodstock, and there are details on their website.
Thank you, Jen.
There is a award-winning documentary which is on at the Phoenix Picture House on Thursday night. It starts at 7:20 and it's about the remarkable life of physicist Stephen Hawking, a man who needs no introduction, if I ever heard one. Mm. It's through the words of Hawking himself. He's the narrator.
So it's like an autobiographical.
Yeah, very much so. I think so. Yeah, it's basically a sort of filmed biography. There are actors playing him in his younger days, with him narrating and some of his family narrating as well. And it's basically kind of following his life story and his struggles. This is marking actually 50 years since he was diagnosed with motor neuron disease at the age of 21, and when that happened, doctors gave him 2 years to live. Obviously, he's come on fairly well since then. This is the film's debut. It's being streamed live from the Cambridge Film Festival, and the film is going to be followed by a live satellite Q&A with Stephen Hawking. So this is something that you simply cannot see anywhere else, although if you miss the film itself, you can see Hawking on Saturday at 1:15 at the Phoenix Picture House.
The film Hawking, not the actual man.
Yeah, the film Hawking. Yes, no, no, not a poster. He's not going to be watching like Power Rangers or something, like sitting there. No. Anyway, what else have you got for us?
Well, there's something else being marked in Oxford this week. Mm-hmm. It's the 50th year since C.S. Lewis's death.
Cheery.
But they're calling it the C.S. Lewis Jubilee, so you don't have to mention death. So he's being commemorated in the C.S. Lewis Jubilee Festival up in Headington, which is where he was a member of the congregation there for over 30 years.
The congregation. Yeah,
it's
good.
It's like the Congo line and a church congregation.
I'm sure I'd like to go to that church. That sounds quite fun. Anyway, C.S. Lewis, though.
The festival includes tours around the area C.S. Lewis lived. Mm-hmm. There's also a new play which weaves extracts from Narnia with the author's real-life milestones.
Right.
So that's quite intriguing. So
okay,
I guess
cool.
Using his writing to highlight his own experiences and vice versa.
Yeah, that time when he was tied down to that table and sacrificed in order to save those kids. Anyway, yeah.
There's also lots of talks, and there's an exhibition, and finally there's a sort of celebration service to close the festival. So it's a really great chance to go and find out more about this author. He's an iconic kind of Oxford figure, and it's a lovely community-led event, so it's really quite unique. There won't be anything else like it. And it's starting this Thursday, and there's a website. You can find out all the events, all the times as well.
Fantastic. Well, that sounds really good. Actually, it's quite the week for celebrations, because there is a Britain, Benjamin Britten, centenary celebration, which is on this week, actually.
It's marking his death.
Yes, I believe it's the 100th anniversary of his death. Once again, you know, focusing on the positive. There is a concert on Saturday at the North Wall Arts Centre. It's by young musical stars at the South Bank Sinfonia. Mm. And they are going to be performing the music of a young Benjamin Britten. I mean, the music he wrote when he was young.
So his early pieces.
Yeah, I mean, he's dead now. He's really old. He's old as old you can get, because he's dead.
Plus 100.
Exactly. But yeah, so there's also going to be a concert in St. Edward's School on Sunday with a large choir and a full orchestra. So you can see more details of that on the Britten in Oxford website.
You can also find out about all the events we've spoken about so far, or any other event happening in Oxford, on our website, dailyinfo.co.uk.
Of course you can, or of course if you fancy something else, instead you can buy and sell things like bikes, toys, clothes, videos or cars, or you can find a job, find a house, all on dailyinfo.co.uk.
Now, Saturday night, there is a very, very cool gig coming up. It's with James Bell. He's a local folk singer, and he's just recorded his first album, and he's doing a launch party for the album at the Old Fire Station this Saturday. It's a solo album. Normally he plays within a group of people, and so he had to play all the instruments, and he had to learn some instruments specifically for the album.
So he recorded himself doing each of the instruments and layered them one on top of the other.
That's what I believe, yeah. So I'm not entirely sure. When he does it live, I think he needs his friends, but the recording, it's 100% him, apparently.
Wow, that is a testament towards dedication, and also a slight kind of solitary creepiness, do you not think?
Oh, folk singers, I think, can be a little bit on the dark side.
They're the kind of modern day oracles, aren't they? They need to be wandering in the wilderness a bit, like getting their album shots of them kind of looking tortured in a field somewhere.
Yeah. That is what it does feature. Yeah. The album is also made up of mostly really old folk songs, which James Bell unearthed from the Bodleian Library. So some of them haven't been kind of played for over 100 years, and he sort of sampled them. So that's
pretty exciting as well. He doesn't write his own material.
He doesn't have any friends. Oh, be nice. There's also going to be Morris dancing at the launch, as there should be at any folk celebration.
Or indeed any event of any kind.
Or any event ever.
As far as Anais is concerned.
So it's 8 p.m. this Saturday at the Old Fire Station.
That sounds brilliant. Well, actually, I've got something myself at the Old Fire Station. It's on this Sunday, and it's the launch night of a new series of events. It's called Listening Room, and it's going to be a monthly gig night where the Old Fire Station are going to be showcasing some great local bands in a kind of relaxed, experimental night. It kicks off this Sunday with a triumvirate of Oxford bands. That means there's three of them, Anais. It's Kill Murray, Frieda, and The Sea. Whether you fancy some folksy guitar or some post-punk indie pop.
Yes, please.
Yeah, all of
to
it.
To all of it.
Just have them all playing at the same time. With James Bell there playing his 37 instruments with his toes. This is going to have you covered.
Fantastic. We've now got Richard coming in, who is going to tell us a little bit more about some other gigs going on
Absolutely.
This week.
He is an Oxford music guru. Thank you for joining us, Richard.
Good afternoon, Alan.
Could you tell us something about what's going on this week in gigs?
In gigs this week, we have got a great selection of gigs, especially this weekend, actually. There's three specific gigs going on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it would be impossible to do all of them because they're all happening at the same time. So, first up, we have the original Rabbit Foot Spasm Band, one of Oxford's best jazz band. Good old dancing, drinking music.
Yeah, it's possibly my favourite Oxford band, I have to say.
They are something to behold. And they are launching their latest album.
Brilliant.
This album is called Party 7.
I see. Is it the seventh album? Or?
It's not the seventh album. I think it's a play on the idea that Party 6 is a unit from which one buys alcohol.
Oh, I see.
There are seven people in the band, right. Hence Party 7, that with seven of them in the band, in your presence, you have a party.
I'm sure everyone there will be having a good time. When's it on?
Well, it is on Saturday night at 8 o'clock at Oxford Castle.
Lovely.
Also on Saturday, at St John the Evangelist Church, Iffley Road, we've got Brickwork Lizards.
Another great local band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good mixture of sort of Middle Eastern influences, a bit of hip hop. They'll be supported by a band called The New Forbidden.
Now, The New Forbidden have a very unusual frontman, don't they?
They do. They have the one and only Lloyd Grossman.
That's an interesting way you put the emphasis in his name there.
Well, in his capacity as a musician rather than a, I don't know how to describe him.
Pastor Source
Broadcaster, yeah. Kind of, he has a sideline as a punk musician.
It's so unlikely, isn't it, somehow?
It is. Somehow people have these mixture of things. Yeah. So hence I said gross man, you know. It's,
I see.
Goes in with a pub. Punk. So that's at St John the Evangelist Church on Iffley Road.
Absolutely bizarre. Anyway, and what's your third
grade? And then I thought I'd go for another one because you mentioned that Friday is International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Thursday is.
Well, I couldn't find any pirate-related gigs for Thursday.
I'm sorry.
However, also on Saturday, there is a fundraiser at the Jericho Tavern for the Whitstock Festival.
Oh, right,
which occurs
yes.
every summer, originally in Long Wittenham, hence mm-hmm. the name Whitstock, stock being a suffix for festival. This year, it was held in Cullum.
Right.
And all year round, they do a series of fundraising gigs. At the Jericho Tavern, this Saturday, we have local blues rock three-piece veteran Steamroller.
Mm-hmm.
One Wing Left and Peerless Pirates.
I see. There we go. It all knits together in your grand design.
It does indeed.
Very nice. Thank you so much, Richard.
That's great. Thank you.
The Exuberant Trust are providing us with entertainment this Sunday. They are a local charity and they've been supporting young people in Oxfordshire for 10 years now. So they're celebrating their 10th anniversary. And they offer generally pots of funding of up to £500 for young people to develop their interest in the arts.
Brilliant.
And they're organising a showcase at the Pegasus Theatre, which is going to feature artists who they've helped fund, and it's going to fundraise money so that they can fund more artists. So it's a good kind of cycle of art and funding, I think.
A virtuous cycle. Assuming you like, you know, community theatre, and otherwise it's a vicious
cycle.
Well,
you say that. The Exuberant Trust actually gave a one-off grant to Idle Motion, who recently performed a sell-out kind of homecoming show on the Playhouse stage.
Brilliant.
And they also have funded Body Politic, who are a local dance group going from strength to strength. So they've got a very good eye for what's kind of going to go out there and be successful.
And you can see it first.
This Sunday at the Pegasus from 7 p.m.
Sounds brilliant. Okay, well, I've got Jason Manford at the New Theatre. He's on there Monday and Tuesday next week. I would say he is a strong contender for the crown of cheeky, chappy northern comedian.
Northern, yeah.
Yeah, well, there can only ever be one any other
time. I think northern, but not northern of the teeth. That's the John Bishop northern.
Yeah, well, John Bishop is the kind of glamorous
Ross Noble, northern with the hair.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah. Everyone needs a shtick,
Jason Manford's just normal with the man paunch.
Yeah, in fact,
which is good.
Yeah, you should suggest it's that to him
identifier.
It's a little nickname that he'd enjoy. Yeah,
could be his next tour name.
It might well be. This tour is called First World Problems, so not
hashtag
most...
First World Problems.
Well, exactly. Yes, it's not the most original title in the world, I'm sure, but then again, hashtag First World Problem. He's a former Perrier and Chortle Award winner. In case you think we're being mean to him, you have probably seen his anecdotal humour and cheery charm on Would I Lie to You, Live at the Apollo, QI, 8 out of 10 Cats, basically any comedy panel show recorded in the last 5 years. He is, however, really quite good, and if you fancy something kind of relaxed, bit of audience participation, bit of banter, he's going to be at the New Theatre Monday and Tuesday next week.
Going from low art to high art, the Ashmolean have last week opened their new special exhibition, which features Henry Moore and Francis Bacon joined together in one exhibition, and we sent along Hinny, and she's going to tell us what she thought about it.
On at the moment at the Ashmolean is a fantastic exhibition for Henry Moore and Francis Bacon called Flesh and Bone, which is the first exhibition to critically link them. Apparently they exhibited together quite a bit in the 1950s, 1960s,
way back when. That time.
Yeah, yeah. But they didn't know each other very well, and this is the first to really link what they were doing. They were two figurative artists working at a time when what was really fashionable was abstract work in Britain. So it's interesting to see that they were both influenced by Picasso and both influenced by the abstract work that was happening around them. You get these sort of biomorphic twisted figures in front of really blocky glowing colours, sort of mix of both styles. Really interesting stuff. And I think the thing for me that was most interesting was to see how both of them were, they were asking where in a person the soul resides, they think. And it's clearly not what you'd expect them to say. It's not the head, because the heads are all small or empty or distorted or with no face or animalistic. And it's not the heart, because so many of them have a hollow where the heart would be. It's really, really interesting stuff. And apparently they were both very influenced by what they'd seen during the war.
Yeah.
And that lots of artists at the time struggled with depiction of the human head, especially after seeing what they'd seen in the war. So Yeah, really, really interesting stuff, and a very different side to Moore than you'd see in most places, because I think most stately homes and sculpture
parks... I was
going to
say, there's so many outdoor
Moors. And I think they've bought the ones which are comforting and maternal and friendly figures, but there's so much more to his work than that. And that's where the link comes in with Bacon's work. I think it's very, very violent and intense, and but very beautiful.
So where can people see this exhibition then?
At the Ashmolean Museum at the moment.
Lovely.
Thank you. So that was Hinnie talking about Flesh and Bone, the exhibition currently on at the Ashmolean.
Wonderful. Well, I think we've got one more event to talk about. It is a play, again, actually, by David Grieg. He's quite a hot topic.
Start and finish with Grieg.
Yeah, exactly. As I like to do with every day, personally. A bit of bleak Scottish drama is definitely the only thing that can get me out of bed in the morning, frankly. It's on next week, from Tuesday to Thursday. It's called The Events. And
The Event is called The Events.
The Event is called The Events, yes. Which is a little bit confusing, almost certainly intentionally. This play is just mind-blowing. Basically, it is set in the aftermath of a horrific, politically motivated crime, with a young priest trying to understand the violence that has ripped her world apart. So it's very much inspired.
So a female priest.
A female priest.
And it's kind of no time, no specific place. It's not.
It's sort of set vaguely in Scotland, but these kind of factors unfurl.
But it's not a kind of historical event.
It's very much inspired by things like the Anders Breivik shootings in Norway. Mm-hmm. So it's absolutely drawing on those sort of influences, but and kind of asking, what if it happened today? What if it happened in Britain? And also kind of asking you questions about our society and how people can move on from traumatic, terrible events in their life. It's got a lot of things to say about empathy, forgiveness, revenge. It's just absolutely brilliant. It had a sold-out run at the Edinburgh Fringe, which is where I saw it a couple of months ago, and absolutely one of the most compelling plays I have seen in just years.
So the when and where, Alwyn, the when and where?
Tuesday to Thursday, next week at the North Wall Arts Centre. It starts at 8 p.m. and I would book your tickets now, because if my judgement is anything to go by, this thing is going to sell out.
Okay, so that's Alwyn's judgement. So do definitely investigate other sources before booking and parting with your well-earned cash. Right.
This has been an unusually abusive Daily Info Oxcast.
Standard abuse from you to me.
Yeah.
I've just got a comeback.
Well, I guess that's the problem, isn't it? It's not usual when you see the worm turn, the mouse.
We're here every Wednesday,
giving you everything that's going on in Oxford. As always, do look on dailyinfo.co.uk, where we'll have full details of everything mentioned in this podcast and many hundreds of events that weren't mentioned at all.
And you can also find us on social media, such as for Twitter at Daily Info Oxford, and on Facebook, you can like our Facebook page, Daily Info Oxford. Thank you.